Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Tom Simoti is here, ladies and gentlemen. Tom is a new friend. He's a certified public accountant. That's his profession. But he's also the author of The Science of Change, Basics Behind Why Change Succeeds and Fails. He's the founder of the Change Science Institute, and he's our new friend, Tom Simoti. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Good to have you here. Tom, over the years, almost 17 years I've been doing this show, I have spent quite a bit of time talking about the idea of change, with just in general, just as it pops up into various different conversations and topics. But I've also focused on change itself, strictly having conversations about change. And over the years, the one of the things that we've focused on is that it's not enough just to accept change. It's not enough just to identify change. It's not enough just to manage change. You have to lead change. But one of the things that we have not talked about, at least not in my memory, is what you call the science of change, the science behind change. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Very early on in my career, I was in charge of a major project at a fairly large corporation, and we committed all sorts of resources, expertise. We actually hired some of the best consultants to help put the system in. And part of the way through the process, we were starting to run into struggles. And when I went to these experts, they told me the issue was management commitment. And I said to them, hey, look, I may be young, but I'm not stupid. There's no way I'm going to go to my bosses who committed all these resources and hired you guys and tell them that, you know, we're failing because of lack of commitment. What that really did, though, is got me thinking, why does some change succeed and why does other change fail? And more importantly, why does a change fail even though everything indicates it should succeed? Hmm. And so that's been my focus for 25, 30 years. And it's really
So you're saying that it's that you know, you would think that it would be some mechanical reason that you could identify, but it wasn't that easy.
No, and again, what really differentiates my position today from all the experts on change management, so on and so forth, not to take anything away from them, is this 25, 30-year focus on the why besides actually implementing the change. Mm-hmm. I've had an extensive amount of change projects, including I took a company public in 2011.
Right.
So, and so through that, I've actually determined that there's two major underlying things, very simple. But when you look at it in this context, you realize you have a science going on. First of all, change is actually occurring all around us constantly. Everything that happens is all based off of change, from the subatomic level all the way up. More importantly, I've discovered that all of that change follows the same set of principles. There are a set of principles and concepts that apply to all change. So by definition, if you systematically arrange that knowledge, which I've attempted to do in the science of change, you've, by definition, have a science, and I truly believe that that's a science.
What are the components of that science?
Well, there's four major principles that I've established. One, for example, is a concept of environmental override, which in and by itself goes a long way to explaining why a lot of proven processes fail.
When you say environmental override, you mean things that are stacked against you?
Yeah,
like the wrong people, not enough resources, that kind of thing.
Well, actually, it's a little different twist. Every change requires a process. Every process requires a set of there's a set of requirements that have to exist for that process to execute.
Mm-hmm.
You're executing that process in an environment. Therefore, in order for that process to execute successfully, the conditions in that environment must match the requirements of the process.
Mm-hmm.
If they do not, that process will fail.
So that's like if you got a wonderful product that anybody would want, except it's 5 years ahead of its time.
Exactly.
So the marketplace, the product is perfect. Nothing wrong with the product. Nothing wrong with the price. Nothing wrong with what it does. It's just the marketplace is not ready for it.
Exactly.
And so an environment, a business environment, could be the same way. The culture of the company might not be ready for that change as perfectly as it may be rolled out.
It might be the culture. There might be just even more fundamentals. I mean,
right.
I'll use a personal, that some maybe people can relate to on a personal level. Let's just say that a doctor suggests you take a certain drug. That drug's proven to be successful, all right? Then that doctor finds out that you have diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
The conditions in your body will not support that drug. So
right.
All of a sudden, a proven process, a proven drug doesn't work. And so it's the same thing in an organization. You know, you could have conditions within that organization. You might not have the proper staffing. There may not be the proper knowledge base. The point is that change science isn't another 10-step approach to how to accomplish change. Change science is agnostic. It has a set of principles, and it says when you look at change from a scientific perspective, it will give you an understanding that will help you determine what process should you select. Mm-hmm. Why will this process have challenges?
Would it also alert you before you if you apply the science, it should alert you before you deploy a lot of resources to where the deadly traps are that are never going to let this thing succeed.
Exactly. In fact, there's a whole section in the book, two chapters at the end on risk assessment.
Yeah.
There's also a concept in the and within change science called disconnect analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually suggests to executives in particular that they should take and have take the time to, if they have multiple processes to select from, do a disconnect analysis, determine what exactly is required by each individual process, and compare that to the conditions that exist. You have two choices with a process. You either have to correct all those disconnects, but at least you know what they are up front, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to recognize that process has too many disconnects, so the complexity of the mm-hmm. disconnects are
and,
too
and
great.
And the science helps you anticipate these implications before you get too far down the road and commit too much.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought. You got a website, Tom?
Yes, it's changescienceinstitute.com.
So check that out, folks. The book is called The Science of Change by Tom Simoti. He and I will be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.